This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think...
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous twilight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's hour number three already. All right, no better way to start it off and head down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, what is up?
Man, kind of thaw out from yesterday.
Not the thermometer.
I fished yesterday, and I felt like a frozen chicken.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, my God.
That's tough on an old man, ain't it?
I know. I got all that stuff on in the morning, like all like four layers of everything, you know. And
I hate it like that. I can't even hardly move. It's hard to get in and out of the boat with all that gear on, man.
Tell me about it, dude.
I have limited flexibility at my age anyway.
Tell me about it. But the last thing you do when you walk out the door, you take a magic marker, right? Stupid on your forehead. what are you thinking? You know, but the guys
like
I got
Forrest
fishing
said, stupid is, stupid does.
But I have two guys that they'll fish in anything. They're just animals, you know, Barry and Hunter. So they want to go. So I said, Katie, bar the door. We're going. These guys have been through every condition in the world, and they're great fishermen. If they want to go, I'm going. So, and we host them. You know, we get good. But it come to a point around noon where, I'm not kidding you, I couldn't feel my fingers at all. I couldn't unzip your jacket. You can't put a plastic
That's
on.
That's what Bill Watkins was saying earlier. When you can't feel your fingers, man.
Yes. Yeah. And I was trying to move the boat with the trolling motor, and that remote's around my neck, and I couldn't even hold it, much less make my thumb push a button. Then I pushed something wrong and turned the whole thing off. I was just like, God almighty, what am I thinking, you know? But God, we had a good time, you know. We stuck some really nice fish, you know, 4 to 6 pounders, and we probably caught 40 fish. Sweet. Yeah, 40, maybe 45 fish, maybe 50 fish, you know.
Oh,
and then it got to a point where we look at each other and go, let's go, you know.
Well, I'd brave the elements for that. I'm not going to do that up here.
Yeah, but earlier in the week, Mickey, was Katie barred the door. So I had the same two guys on Monday and Tuesday, and they fished me every year. And last year they came down the exact same time, and we got on a wade, and it was just incredible. I had one guy, he caught 52 big fish in one day, and he's a counter, you know, but that's really an awesome day. And he beat everybody. He had one little John. It was a clear with those different color specks in it, and of course that's the only one I didn't have in a boat. He had a package of them. He wasn't sharing them, man. It was funny. They were in a contest between the three of them, so I just sit back and watch. But anyway, so the other two guys had it out for Brett this time. They wanted to beat him, you know. And I put them there Monday, Mickey, and these fish are stacked in there. I can just see them. I mean, you can smell them. They're there. And they would barely hold on to the bite. Was just stupid light. Just barely hold on to it. Or they followed up and swirl at your feet. Or they bump it one time and go away. It was just not happening, you know. And we caught fish everywhere we went, but it never was a bite. It was just like you could tell they were staging for that front, you know.
Right.
And then we go back in there Tuesday, and barometric pressure is 29 point something. It's like, are you serious? When you got 29, you know, pressure like that, if you're not catching fish, you ain't on them. That's all I can tell you. You know, and so from the time we got there to the time we left at 3 o'clock, it was just as fast as you could reel in a big fish, Mickey. It was just as good as it gets. It was so good that I'm sitting there working pliers, and I'm not even trying to net these fish because we're fishing double Ds and top waters, and they're getting tangled up the net. So I'm trying to bow grip everything, you know, and it takes a little while. And someone we lost some pigs at the boat simply because they go into the boat and pop a line, stuff like that. But the amount of big fish we caught, you know, was just stupid, you know. And so I'm rolling up this last drift, and these guys got to get back on Tuesday. And I said, hey, man, let's make one more shot in here, catch another 20 fish on this one spot. And I throw that Jay gave me a double D called the Truth, and it's just like the Plum Nasty, but it's got a white bottom. And I've been waiting for the right conditions to throw this, you know.
Purple and with white on it is how you put me in, coach.
I know.
I've always been a firm believer in that color combination.
Well, that's like your little John with that white tip tail. That's why it works.
It makes a difference.
Yes, it does. And so it's getting late in the day, you know, and I finally get a little break where they're not catching so many fish I can fish, a couple of meat and a sandwich, so I got a little time to throw, you know. And so the first three casts of the Double D, the Truth, I hooked up, and all really nice fish, 4 to 6 pounders. And so I take them off, I sit there a second, have a drink. I threw that Double D back out in the same spot, Mickey, and I feel a little tick. I set the hook. It's about a 13-inch trout right where I'm catching those pigs, you know. And as I reel him in, and I grab him by my hand, I turn around, and I the stupidest thing I've ever said. I said, Brett, these are the kind that get you right here. And that sucker threw that Double D into my wrist, right between the arteries, right between the arteries in my right wrist. I'm holding that fish. I go, well, this ain't good. So I tell the guys, look, pull out here, you know, out here in the middle, get away from all this stuff here, and you guys got to help me out, you know. So the Troy, the one guy, is almost a professional bass. He could be a professional bass fisherman. He's that good. He uses all the live scopes. He fishes a lot. He gets a lot of hooks out. He says, you know, we fish these little bitty jerk baits and stuff, and we get hooks in this all the time. And I use a string deal, and we can pop it out with a string. I said, but look, it's right between the two arteries there. I said,
that wrist area, man, there's some veins running through there on the underside you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, right. That's nasty. Plus those ligaments right there, too.
Yes, and it was now. It was all the way down there deep, too. So Larry says, well, I got a pair of split-ring pliers. Let's take that front hook off, because what happens, you don't take that front hook off. When I pop it out, you're going to pop that front hook into you. So rule number one, take off the other hook, you know, when you do this. And I had some 30-pound leader in there, so he got a piece of 30-pound leader, you know, and he wraps around that hook, you know, and I says, I don't want to go to the emergency room. I just go to the emergency room too much of this stuff. I don't want to go. I want to keep fishing. So anyway, Larry pushed down the bottom of that thing, and they popped that sucker right out. It was incredible.
Awesome.
You know, just so easy. And then he puts the hook back on my double
You're
D. I says, you know,
you're lucky, man.
Yes, man. For once, I didn't have to go see the doc, you know. So
Blaine had one in his finger one time, a jig head, where he got a big old trout right up next to the boat, and the jig head flew out of his mouth, and he put his hand up to keep it from hitting him in the face. And it buried in his index finger, and every time I'd pull on it, it'd roll his finger up. It had a hold of a ligament. He took and another jig head and filed the barb all the way down, you know, and just made it like a little hook turn there with no barb. And he stuck that hook in there and pulled the ligament up away from that other barb on the hook that was in him, and then I just popped it right out.
Oh, he's an animal.
God. We weren't stopping. We were in a huge school of big fish. I mean, I think my boat, we put three legit nines in the boat that day. Joe Quater and another guy named Randy that hung out with Joe, the two customers I had.
I've seen some horrible hook stings too, man.
Nasty, man.
I had
very
the worst
next
ever.
Cast, he threw out and caught one just over nine, about a nine and a quarter.
God, it was worth it. I bet he didn't feel no pain then. Man.
Nah, that little German's tough as nails. He is tough.
I've had a lot, but it's funny how the scalp is so hard to get hooks out of. The scalp is really hard.
Oh, it's like hooking a baseball glove or football shoe leather, you know?
Yeah.
Man, the scalp is bad.
God, but it's so cool because we're getting a soft dine bite, we're getting a soft plastic bite, we're getting a hard bait bite.
That's
stupid,
nasty.
You know? But yesterday, Mickey, I'm thinking there ain't going to be nobody out here. I've been fishing the same spot for 45 years, Mickey. I mean, and there's this one little area that's got a mud hump on it. These fish stack up on it. I go in, there's three boats on my mud hump. I've never seen anybody in there when the chill factor is like, I don't know, 20 degrees. And wind was sustained at 38.
Boy, that throws a wrench into the gearbox, doesn't it?
I said, what are these young guys doing out here? They're all bundled up. They're catching pigs, too. You know, I was going, man, I can't believe this. Somebody's stupid as I am. But anyway. And young generation's got it, too. That's good stuff, man.
Well, they're the new trend, the takeovers. Mm-hmm. We're going out, and they're coming in. Seen it go on
a lot of
my life.
Yes, a lot of really good fish caught this week, man. I saw some fish.
We're the old-timers now, man. Old schoolers.
I know it. I saw some big fish caught in Mansfield this week, too, man. Some of the locals down there. They don't share it with anybody.
Threw a photo up on the Sicko page yesterday, 32 and a quarter that went 10-something.
Yeah, and that was Mansfield, right?
I guess. It just said South Padre, but I kind of guessed that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the locals down there were sending me pictures, you know, that I know down there. They don't say nothing, don't put it on Facebook, but they've caught some studs down there. And we're catching a few in the back. I heard a big one came back in Alazon 2 days ago. A guy caught it he only caught two bites. You know, he's had a 4-pounder, and he had one about 9.5, but that's a good fish. But we're catching a lot of sixes, which, you know,
I'll wait all morning for that.
Really good, yeah. You know, Mickey, it's what's so crazy, the amount of 4 to 6 pounders I'm catching right now. I mean, those are good fish.
What they'll be another year or two down the road. There you go. There's your brood stock right there, buddy.
Yeah, that is, buddy. And they're
look at the spawns they're going to put off between now and then.
And, you know, there's some bumper fish in there that are big, big, big. But where I'm fishing, the chances of getting them out, Mickey, you know where I'm fishing. It's hard to get them out of that real heavy structure like that. Man, I'm fishing mud.
Yeah,
right,
but I love
rocks.
Fishing like that. I mean, that, you know.
Me too.
We were born under the same sign, I guess, because, I'm into that kind of structure, you know, that kind of fishing.
Yeah. It's advanced.
You just take
fishing,
your licks, you know.
Yep,
You got to go where they're at, and that's where they're at. You got to get in there
On Tuesday, we figure out we broke probably $80 worth of hard baits off. But it was worth it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, just slouches. I mean, we went through so many double D's and stuff, it was stupid, you know.
Man.
Nothing. But that's where the fish are. You got to throw it up in there to get them, you know. And if you don't turn them around or if they get you down on the bottom, it's game over, you know. It's yeah. it's a hard place to fish, but it's fun, man.
I was listening
to you guys talk about roll-off. It's so funny you said that, Mickey, because most of the guys from Houston that come down has talked about how that affected that bay system. That's something.
Well,
man.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, that's. I was listening
only
to you guys.
Only a fool or somebody that just doesn't know would say it didn't, but it did.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. I hear, you know, they come over and tell me stories about roll-off. I caught this at roll-off back then, and, you know, and so. Anyway, it's just like you said a while back, we're opening them up and you guys are closing them down. But the opening of Packery was a game changer here. It just changed everything.
Back in the day when we were kids in high school, we'd go down there and fish all night long, man. Mm-hmm. Catch giant trout under the lights. And we'd have Led Zeppelin playing in our vehicles. We called it Rock and Roll Over Pass, baby.
Rock and Roll Over Pass.
Rock and Roll Over Pass. Hang on, let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, Cliff. Hang with me. All right. Well, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics and their archives so you can see patterns over time, along with educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to AnglerU.com to become a member today and receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com. That's AnglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:19 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back.
All right, buddy.
Man, I got a text from a listener during the break. His name's Wes. He said, I've been artificial fishing since early 2000, and I've come to realize the old lures will never go away, just like old country and classic rock and roll, baby.
That's good stuff.
He is right. That's true. I have to agree with that.
Yeah, it's so cool because I got all this quiver of great lures to throw. It's just stupid how many lures we have to throw now.
Maybe. It is ridiculous.
And then somebody will show up with another lure you just got to have. It's like, I got to go buy that. No. You know? But I think about, you know, how far we've come with these lures. And the main thing I like is the hardware. You know, what Lo and Jay are doing and the guys are making these lures, good split rings, good hook are so important because that's where the game is won and lost, right there at the hook and the split ring. You know, you can have all the braid and all the good leader, and if something doesn't hold up there, doesn't work out there for you, it's game over.
You can't have
any weak
links.
You come back and straight, yeah, weak leaked and something's going to be straightened out or a split ring's going to be missing or something like that, you know, so.
I'm with you.
And and you spend all that time trying, you know, miles and miles of water to try to catch that fish you're looking for. It's like a big deer, you know. It's like you finally got that 200-class deer in front of you, and you got some cheap ammo, you know. Like, I want a cheap gun and a bad
or
scope.
A cheap scope. You know? I mean,
yeah, something like that.
You know, having a good rifle, that's the key ingredients. Barrel, yeah, scope, trigger. Is. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
it right there. That is
all
so
those
true.
Three are premium and superior, you're not going to mm-hmm. miss. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, unless you just jerk it off the map, you know, just get buck fever so bad you can't control your breathing, you just yank it.
Yeah, I've seen that happen, too.
Know, when I was, I mean, hey.
When I was working at Sarita, they would get nervous. You know, I could tell when, get ready to shoot, we're in trouble. You know, we did a lot of that safari
stuff. Might as well
stuff.
Just put it back on safety, back off, get
you
breathing
just wait
right.
Off, wait, you know.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when that deer of a lifetime walks out, it just adrenaline kicks in. And the longer you take, the worse mm-hmm. it gets. You might be quick.
Oh, I know. And that's what you don't want to think about it too long. That's why when I was glassing a deer, I'd see a deer out there, and they wouldn't see it for a while, and that's a good thing. I'd look at it. And I say, get ready. I'll tell you if it's a shooter, see if it's old enough. I'm looking at it. They don't see it. That's a good thing because the more they look at it, you know, they get a little nervous on me. So I finally show up to them, and especially if it's not. I say, well, that's a shooter. I'm going to try to get you a shot at him. But it's funny because one of the biggest deer we ever lost was at a water hole. And it was December, and it was the beginning of the rut. And when it's real hot in South Texas during that rut, those bucks will chase that doe, and you know at midday they're going to a water hole. They got to have some water. And so I set up with this one windmill. It was the only windmill in like 50,000 acres, so I knew there was going to be some big bucks showing up there during the rut. And so I set up there with a set of routing horns, and I rattled up this monster 12-point. And he's coming right at us, and he's body posturing. He's got his eyes rolled back. He's doing that sideways walk, and he just knows that he's coming into a fight, you know. And the guy that I'd had there was from an area that they shot deer with was shotguns. I probably told you a story. So he's got a 270. That deer is like 40 yards broadside. He shoots from the hip, thinks it's a shotgun with that 270, and blows a leg off. Yes, he blows the front leg, and all I see is that leg flying. He jumps over the Holy Land into the pasture we can't hunt. 230,000 acre called the Holy Land.
The Holy Land. I like that.
Yeah, and he just runs into the Holy Land. I'm in go, 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 and I'm watching him. You know, I'm watching him. He turns into an Oakmont, and he goes to Oakmont. And so I got to call, you know, got to call Joe Keeper and all the guys that manage that stuff. Say, hey, man, can we go in there and try to get that deer? Then we get the guy with the dog, you know, going there. We never do find that deer.
No,
and
not so with that leg guy, like yeah. that. He gone.
And so, yeah, that guy writes a letter to the foundation like 2 weeks later that we stole his horn. He said, I know those guys found those horns. It was so big they kept it. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, it just hurts you. You work that hard and they say something like that. I go, come on.
Yeah, he didn't
man.
Hit any vitals. That deer never missed a beat.
No.
It survived.
And I don't want somebody else's horns. You know, I want the story behind it and the horns. And I want somebody else's horns. But anyway, that was one of the worst things out of thousands of hunts we did. That was one of the ones that got in everybody's craw there, you know. But it's all good. It's all good. And that's what I love about trout fishing, you know. When you stick a trophy, it's up to you to get him to you. It ain't up to me, you know, to get you in position. I put you on the fish, and if your equipment's not right, and if you don't pull your rod to the side when he jumps out of water and throws off, that's your deal. It's not my deal, you know. You know, I see so many big fish lost by the big fish is on, he's up on top, and they got their rod tip at 12 o'clock, and the fish is coming out of the water, and it's over. If the good guys, you know, you watch Jay and those guys when they hook a big fish, they tilt that rod down level with the water, and they never pump it. They hold it in a bow. You don't want to pump it. And that's what gets those big fish. But, you know, getting them on and getting them in, those big fish are tough, Mickey. Those big 10-pound, 12-pound trout, they're tough to get in, man. And we got the right line, the right leaders now, but you still got to do everything right. And you got to be in a place you can get them out. That's what the trouble is down here, Mickey. A lot of our big fish are in areas you can't get them out of. I mean, that's why they live there, you know?
That's right.
They're in that stuff. It's just hard.
They're in their safe zone, man. They're in an ambush point where they never have to leave, and bait comes by, they seize the opportunity and eat it. Same way with your lure. And then when they do feel restricted, guess what? They go back in their cover, bust you off. No big deal. They continue to live to feed another day, man.
Yeah. I like how they turn over on their side like that and just start rolling, swimming on their side. Until they find some structure, then go around it.
That's what's good about putting your rod to the side and then and doing that pull, you know, turning their head back towards you. That's what you got to do. And if you've got the right line, right leader and everything, you're able to do that without, you know, sometimes you'll rip the hooks out if they're not hooked good, but how are you going to lose him anyway? You might as well take the chance.
Exactly. And, you know, if that plugs on the outside of his mouth and you happen to be pulling not back into the fish. In other words, it's on your side, you may lose him. But if that plug is on the other side, you're lucky enough, you're pulling that plug back into the fish. And that's what I really try to look at the first time I see the fish.
Which side of the head he's hooked on?
Yeah, and then, you know, hook replacement, like under the jaw.
Turn your rod.
Yes. That under the jaw stuff is so hard in the rocks. They get you off so easy or, you know, outside. But you get them inside the mouth like that. If the front hook's not hanging out, you got a good chance.
Well,
but if it's on the back
hook, you've got more control over them. When you hook them under the chin, like you're talking about, you have no control over that fish.
Right, exactly. Another worst case scenario. So he's hooked right in the lip or something, and you got the front hook exposed. Well, when he runs around, that hook's going to hook onto something. You hope that he runs straight away from you so you can pull that hook back into him.
That's what's so good about mirror lures a lot of times. If you hook them on a tail hook, when they make that run away from you and then
pull
turn,
back into them.
Then that head hook will come back and hook in the gill plate or whatever, or under the chin somewhere.
True. Yeah. And, you know, it's in the type of hooks we have now. Look at those cheap wire hooks we used to fish with. And thank God mirror lure
trinket
had three
trash,
hooks,
man.
Yes. And, you know, and you hoped you had two sets of treble hooks in them, you know. And that's why a lot of our big fish back in the day were caught on lead heads, simply because we could land them. You know, like I asked Doug
if I got one chance to hook a really giant trout, a trout of a lifetime, I want him on a jig head.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. That's exactly what Doug Bird said, Mickey. He said, if I'm going to catch a 15-pound trout, I want him on a lead head. He said, I want him inside the mouth in the corner. But that's so true, you know, all that other hook.
I don't want any short shank, turning hooks like treble hooks that are easy to rip out. I want a jig head in his mouth or jaw or wherever I hook him. And my chances of landing that fish just went up 90%.
But you know how it is. When you got all that stuff just right, they don't buy it. You know, you put something cheap on, that's when they buy it, you know. That's good stuff. It's so good to see the amount of fish that we have in our system, and I really think it's a lot to do with our limits. I know a lot of people are against the limits, but everybody down here, I sit there and watch Barry and I and Hunter sit there and watch these guys next to us catch these big fish. Not one guy ever even think about keeping them. They bogue them. They take their picture. They release them. So guess
purist.
What? They're going to be a little bit bigger.
Pure fishermen.
And,
pure sportsmen.
And to be out there. Hey, to be out there in that kind of weather, you are a trout fisherman. You are a big fisherman. You know, that's like
I'll pull a gun out. You know.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true. But that is, they were there just to try to catch that fish of a lifetime. You know, and see. So 2 weeks ago, our fish cleaner Aiden caught a 10-4 there, you know, right next to us. And it was just incredible, you know, just, but it was 30 and a half inch fish. I had a 2 pound mullet, which is still a big fish, but you're talking about the guy that caught a 32 inch 10 pounder. Now that is a big fish. It's not a 30 inch 8 pounder.
Well, the quality of the photo, they took it right. You knew it was a big fish. It wasn't shoved through the lens. It didn't take a 7 pounder and shove it through the lens.
Shove it through the lens. Yeah.
And then call it what it's not. You know, I get sick of that. You can tell right off the bat by the size of their hand. You know, look at the boga grip with their hand next to the head. All, you know, all that crud. And it's just, they might as well crop it. I mean, it's just
a
flawed photo.
I use that little boga grip, and it's very accurate. But my poor eyesight, I can barely see those numbers. And so what a lot of my guys are doing, they're getting those yellow scales that Chad uses in the tournaments. They're digital. And that is so nice to be able to carry those in your pocket.
There you,
know,
you
hold the fish down. Snap it on there. Hold him up. There it is, lit up right there in numbers. You know, there's your fish. There's your photo.
You know, that's a good point you bring up. That's great with the scales and everything, but I mean, how bad do we injure these big fish like that, hanging all that weight
hold
on that bottom lip and jaw with that boga grip?
That's another thing we're learning, too. You know,
it's like lipping bass. Remember when everybody used to lip them and then let it fold over with their thumb back and then hold them up for a photo? And, I mean, how do they keep them dislocating the jaw? I mean, that can't be good for the fish.
Yeah, and I think everybody's realizing that, you know, simply because we're talking about it on the outdoor show and other people talking about it. But, you know, when you snap onto that fish, your first time, you know, you kind of let him settle down.
And he's shaking his head and going crazy.
In the water. Yeah. And so what you want to do, you know, so you're going to raise him up that first time to see what he weighs, you know. Then lay him back down parallel while you're waiting on a pitcher. Lay him down back in the water. And let him breathe, you know, just lay down there like that until you get
the
photo.
Yeah, get the weight off of him.
And then the guys that really take good photos now, they lay the fish out, then they reach with their other hand and put under their belly and raise him up parallel.
Right.
So you're not supporting all the weight on the jaw. You get your picture, you know, like that, then snap, put him back in the water. But
exactly.
You know, and we're all learning how to handle these big fish the right way. You know, all these years we didn't think about how. Because we didn't have those boga grips back in the day.
No.
You know, we grabbed them with our hands, Mickey. We grabbed them, turn them over with our tail, and they disorient them like a shark, and they would just lay on top, and you put your hands up, you know, behind their head if you get your hand around their head. If not, you stuck up in their gills. We've come a long way, you know, protecting our fish, which is a good thing.
Really. Yeah, and our hands were always wet, so you didn't take any slime off fish when you grabbed
them. Right, and, but not knowing what they—that was our problem. We never knew what they weighed. We had those little bitty cheap black scales that used for
D-liars.
Bass fishing. You know? Yes,
Shakespeare D-liars.
And they didn't work.
And
you
Zepco
know,
D-liars or whatever they were. I think it was Zepco.
And so we just measured them. We said, "Oh, that's a 32. That's a 31." You know, so we just kind of measured the fish. Now, so with all the tournaments, all about the weight, and so that's kind of where we're at now. Things have changed on that, which is good. You know.
Well,
but so many of my guys, I'll see them catch a big fish and they'll be 100 yards away from me, Mickey, and they don't weigh it, they don't do nothing, they turn it loose. Unless it's a real special fish, I don't get that picture of that 7-pounder. They've caught so many of them, they just turn them loose. They don't care. You know,
true.
That's pretty good to be at that spot, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, just you want to picture something really
I'm
big.
I'm with you. Yeah. I can dig it, man. Let me dig this commercial break over with, and I'll be right back at you. Hang on,
man. Buddy.
All right. Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse. Croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with the Oxygen Response System. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. If you need more info on the Oxygen Response, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. You know, whether you're looking, no farm-raised shrimp at Boyd's, it's all wild-caught. If you're looking for the 9-12s, 15-18s, they have them. Great price, great availability. Crawfish season's upon us. And always think of Boyd's when you're thinking of crawfish. They've always got them. Check them out at boydsonestop.com. Call the store at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Hey,
back to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. It's 6:37 here in the Bayou City. All right. Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy.
All right.
I'm sitting here thinking about this coming up week. I think we're going to have, it's going to start really getting nice by Tuesday, it looks like.
Yeah, it is. It's even warmer Monday. We're going to get through this rain this weekend and then warm on up as the week continues.
Yeah, I've got some guys fishing me Monday and Tuesday, I think, and Wednesday, so hopefully it'll turn. I'm not glad they're not going today or tomorrow, but God, yesterday just took it out of me, buddy. That was, you know, when you're so cold you can't close your hands to do a zipper on your jacket. I had a trolling motor remote around my neck, and I just couldn't hardly push the buttons on it. Just stupid. It's just, you know, you come to a point where it's just ridiculous. But that's, man, that's when those fish, we're watching that water temperature drop in the low 50s, you know, watching it while we're there dropping. Well, that's what I want. I hate to say it, but, you know, I like that water being around 50, 52 degrees for those big fish. That's usually when when they eat.
Sure. Yeah.
But what was so weird before this cold front, Mickey, we had all these shrimp and all popping out of the water everywhere. And, you know, we waded in Baffin with 75-degree water in February, never seen before. And then you pull in a marker 37, all the little boat slips have little bitty fry, all types of little minnows in there that, you know, little fresh hatching of all types of stuff.
Yeah, probably glass minnows and little
everything is showing up right now, you know. And
right.
I'm wondering what's this temperature, this 50-degree water is going to do to things. You know, is it, like, they got to go deep. I hope it doesn't kill them. I just figure they're going to pile into the channels and come back on the flats when it's over, hopefully.
I think they'll be all right. It.
Yeah.
What is your water temperature in now? Low 50s, mid-50s?
Yeah, low 50, 52 or so, which is fine, yeah. You know. You know, Jay and I caught big fish in 47-degree water one time. We were sitting in the water. Air temperature's 38 and water's 47. He looks at me like I'm crazy. And we get some monsters, you know. But sometime, you know, if you got some bait in there and they're in the mood, they're going to eat. But what a lot of these fish do, people wait too long to fish, Mickey. So when that front first blows in and they feel it, you know, and it's still not real high pressure yet. The pressure's really not on them yet. But they feel the front, that's when they're eating those big mullet, and that's when we're all sitting around going, waiting for the wind to die to get out there. And a lot of times they've already eaten the big mullet, and you're catching 10% of the fish you should be catching.
Yeah, they get that big mullet in them, and that's what they like to do, you know, ahead of these fronts or right when they hit is swallow that big meal and hold on to it for 3 or 4 days, get the most out of it, and then return to the feeding grounds again.
Exactly right. And we try to downsize and try to get them to eat a little snack, you know, after they fall. Best case scenario, I love the month of March because the month of March does two things. You're still eating mullet. They got winter fat on them, and they're starting to get aggro. And so if you can catch that magic fish that first 2 weeks of March, he's probably as heavy as he's going to be. You know, my personal best came at March the 9th, you know, and that fish had a mullet and roe going on, you know, so that was a monster, you know. And I side casted that fish, and I'll never forget it. It's still like it happened yesterday, you know. You know, it's really, really crazy to side cast something that big. He looked like he was 15 pounds, too, when he was laying there, you know. But it was so cool. And back then, we're fishing mono.
Catching a big trout, you know, when you have it hooked and it's out there from you, it's kind of like shooting a deer. Yeah. They're always a lot bigger when they're alive.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you do a lot of praying between
deer and then bogus shrinkage when you get them up to you.
Yeah, this one was, I was using 15-pound mono, too, and he frayed me on a rock, and so my line was frayed for about 4 or 5 foot. You know, I just knew I was going to lose it. I had to back way off the drag, but, you know, back then, no net, no nothing. We tail-grabbed that fish. I think about that now, you know, and I got him on that pedestal mount.
You know, I'm 71 years old, and I've never used a wading net. Never.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've only got one now that Mike sent me for flounder season because my hands are so... I used to be able to grab those flounder, Mickey, and pinch them behind the eyeballs and they freeze. Now my hands are so bad, I don't have enough pressure. They're flopping everywhere, so I'm netting my flounder. When I'm flounder fish, you know, for me, I'll carry a net. Other than that, the net is causing me more problems than anything else.
Oh, they're getting away, hanging all off of you. I see guys wading. They look like they got a tackle store dragging it behind them.
Oh,
got
man.
Everything. Fish, hotel,
and then they put them in the
net,
boxes.
I'm going, Lord, we're just fishing here. Come on.
Yeah, I know you had the same thing happen where you got four guys, and they got all that stuff around them. They got the... everything in the world, you know, bogos, knives strapped onto them. Then we decide to boat fish, then snap it and lay it in the boat. You can't move all that stuff with all their tackle all around the boat. and they got a big fish on, you got to run to the front or run to the back and try to net him with all this stuff around your feet. You know, so that's another thing. I'm trying to pile everything up under the console. But, you know, you need what you need out there is you need a boga grip to catch your fish with. You don't have them. That's important, okay? You need a pair of pliers, you know, and something to cut your line with. That's it. You know, you don't need a whole lot of other stuff. It gets to the point where it's just too much stuff. You know, too much tackle. I get people to get out with 15 pounds of tackle on their back. Like, I tell them, this is what they're eating. They're eating these three things. I says, put these three things in your pocket and you're good to go.
Well, I'm with you. I concur completely.
But, man.
It's
funny how much we've gone through with tackle and stuff, isn't it? Golly, we used to just have a little Snap-on box, you know. Now they got all this Gucci stuff. You know, I was a while back when I took Jimmy Burns from Waterloo, Jimmy was coming out with some new weight fishing tackle, some new boxes and stuff. And I don't know. I need to look on his website, see if he's got all that done. But he brought some guys with him that were going to develop some really neat wading belts and stuff, which I need. You know, I need a special, a different wading belt. I've gone through everything in the world. I can't find the one I really like, Mickey. You know, right. Just can't find that magic wading belt. It's either too much stuff or not enough, or it doesn't cinch up around your waist.
It, I had it for 25 or 30 years, and it was that big big black walking wade belt that Paul Perrin used to make all that stuff. Remember?
Yeah, I remember
made
that.
The stingray guards, and
yeah.
I wore that belt mm-hmm. for 30 years, and mm-hmm. just finally rotted away.
Yeah, it kind of supports your back,
I went to Velcro it, and I felt something split in the back of it. Man, it had great back support. I mean,
yes,
you know,
good.
The stringer holder, everything was just right on it and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I took it off and looked, and it started splitting in half back there. It just rotted out after 30 years in salt water.
Yeah, you think? Know? God. And, you know, you throw them in the garage still wet and they're rotting out. But what are you wearing now, wading belt-wise?
I'm wearing a dive belt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to a dive shop and buy one with a stainless, you know, buckle on it, and then you put one of them stringer holders on it, and
mm-hmm.
plier.
I think
holders,
Jay was using a weightlifter belt 1 year. You know, Jay, I was fishing with Jay, and he had a weightlifting belt.
Yeah.
That they use for weightlifting. But you know, it's got the regular thing like a belt. That Velcro stuff, I just can't get it cinched up enough, or the Velcro comes undone. I don't know what it is.
Well, that one
that
Paul Perrin made, you could. I mean, that Velcro was still good after 30 years.
And what happened to that belt? It's still not around?
It just rotted. Well, I don't know. I mean, it was called Walking Wade Products.
I remember it. It was real popular. I mean, a lot of people had them. And it supported your back. That was like the number one. It kind of faded away.
That was it. Yeah. That was it.
And the other one I'm seeing is a hook. What is it? Hook something. It's a blue one here. Not hook spit. That's the other deal. It's something Hook and Wade or something. I see a lot of that blue belt now, but I'm not wearing anything right now. I'm just wearing, you know, just putting a pair of pliers in my pocket, and I'm snapping. I got a little thing to snap my BOGO on my box that I carry my lures on. But, you know, but the most important thing, I think, is a good pair of needle-nose pliers so you can get those hooks out of their throat without killing your fish.
Yeah, those pliers that Mike turned us on to, they're big time.
Oh, I still got them. It's amazing how good they are.
I've got the same two pair. I can't believe nobody's dropped them in the water yet, the one I keep in my boat. Well, the only bad thing about the leather sheath that good pair of the Premio pliers come in is if you don't fish for a few days and they're sitting under the hatch on your wading belt, it gets mildew in it. You know, they get all mildewy, but hey.
Hey, we got some salt here. There ain't no mildew. That salt eats it away. I'm serious. Yeah. They turn kind of milk white with salt. You kind of hit them on the dash, the salt comes off. You can put it on your margarita.
they never seize up. You never have to spray WD or anything on them, man.
I tell you how good they are. I'll take them out of the sheath and stick them in my wading pocket and snap that little line they got onto my little wader right there so I don't lose them.
Right.
And they'll just sit there in that wading jacket, and I get through, I throw it in the corner, like hanging out. I don't wash it off or I don't rinse it off or anything, Mickey, and it's still going. Pretty impressive.
Well, I tell you, that water's so salty down there. I remember 1 year we were wading Baffin. We were staying at Rivera, and you'd get home, you'd hang your waders up to dry, and the next morning it was like starch in them. They were stiff as a board, man.
I tell everybody your jacket looks like a glazed donut when you get there. It looks like a glazed donut. It's just amazing, isn't it?
What gets me is asphalt in the parking lots, man. It's just like salt crystals everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
You know, pulling trailers out. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. That's some salty water, buddy.
Well, you know, we're on State Street.
As salty as the Gulf is.
Yeah, just 80 parts per thousand, you know?
Yeah.
And this, so we're on stage three water deal. We can't rinse anything off. We can't wash your boat. You can't water your yard. You can't do anything. And so you have to go out at midnight to rinse your boat off so you can get a $500 fine. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You got to rinse your trailer. You got to flush. You got to do that. And so the city manager was on the other night telling us we could rinse our boat off, which is finally, you know. But how do you not rinse a boat off and when you're 180 parts per thousand? How do you pull it up and sit in the driveway for 2 weeks without rinsing off? You're not going to have any equipment.
No. But,
we're down to 18% of our water here, and that's just nothing but stupid. You know, it's just like, really? So we'll see what happens.
Man.
It's pretty interesting.
Well, it's...
I guess you guys in Houston...
It's just what you have to deal with. That's why I always kind of... If y'all had reels down there that would hold up in that salty atmosphere,
we're the acid test. Yes, we're the acid test. It is. And the Hondo's holding up so good. The new ones are holding up so good, Mickey. God, the drags are unbelievable. I just cannot believe how much they come along. I'm putting it to the acid test now. I'm not having any failures on my reels right now.
That's good.
And the drag is super smooth. So you know, one thing about that reel, it's the body is one machine part, like one piece. And right. So after you catch a bunch of big fish, it doesn't get warped. The spool and stuff doesn't get warped in there, and you don't lose your distance on your cast. I'm still firing it out there, and my reels are 2 or 3 months old. And they're improving them. They come out with the salty. They're improving them all the time. So that was a great reel they came out with. I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, I got a pair of them. I really like the salty Hondo.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, I'm seeing everything
what's good
on water
about that too. You know, people don't realize once you kind of, you know, catch, especially red fishermen, you know, catch a lot of big reds on these light reels nowadays, is either the spools will bend and they won't cast properly again, or the cage itself. And if that spool can't, if it's not a great 360 degree circumference in there where that spool rides, you're not going to get that distance on your cast. You're going to get too much out of balance, you know, drag on it. It's gonna slow it down, slow your spool speed down.
Yeah, that's what Mike said when he got into these reels. He says, I want to make a reel that has a one piece frame, and that's what's going on with these. They're pretty tough. And
there's no weak links. It's all the same.
Yeah, and I'm really testing them bad. I don't put my cover on them. I stick them in the rod holder, let them get all full of salt water, but I'm getting beat to death. I want to see how they hold up. I want to see if the outside is scarring real bad from the rod holders. I just want to see all that stuff. And so far, everything's pretty good. I'm not babying them at all. You know, I bring them home, I wipe them off with a rag, I back the drag off, stick them in the corner. You know,
remember back in the old days, man, the reels. Somebody had cast and sound like you were stepping on a cattail, bearing locked up, squealing, and then when you're reeling, working your lure in, it sounded like gravel inside there, and oh man, would come along.
I had a guy that day hadn't even picked that reel up for 6 months. He just grabbed it in his bay house or something, and the button wouldn't even push down on. I said, you know, they're going with a guide bubble. You ought to go ahead and get you some new line, make sure your reel's working real good.
Yeah, you might want to check your gear out ahead of time, brother.
You know, so he ended up using a buddy of his reels, but, you know, he'd have been in big trouble if he had, you know, he brought one rod and, you know, just, it just wasn't good. You know, I tell people, you know, bring two rods or bring a rod and an extra reel, but make sure all your stuff is good before you pile on the boat and make a, you know, at least put the line through the eyes of the rod. Don't put a rubber band around it, stick in my rod holder at 4:30 in the morning, want me to make you a leader because the old man's having a hard time seeing. It might be a peated knot.
I hate it when they'll pull their gear out and they'll hand you the reel and the rod separate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good.
And you got to put the reel on the rod for them, then, you know, in the dark trying to fish that line through that little gad on the reel and then run all the gads through and then tie them up and just,
I don't have very many like that. My guys are just ready to go. All you add is water. They got everything. You know, that's what 90% of my people are.
Yeah, those days are over for me, too. You can't fish, don't call. I mean, we paid our dues, brother.
Yeah, we have. No more Teresa.
Look how many people we've taught how to fish over the years.
Oh, I know it.
And every aspect of the game.
Oh, yeah, you get somebody in the boat and you ask them what kind of reel you want, and they go, a red one, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Think about it, you know. I had a lady ask me one time.
With an ugly stick with a 5,000 ambassador on it, you know you got issues.
I had that happen, Mickey. I've had it happen several times, you know. You know, I used to, All-Star used to be a great, one of our first sponsors back in the old day, you know, was All-Star. I still got people fishing with All-Star rods that are.
Shrimp tail specials and topwater specials.
Yeah, I mean, they were great back then, you know. But so was a flip phone, and so was a bag phone, but they're not an I-15 now or whatever, you know, so it's just different how people think, you know. If I'm going to pay the amount of money to go out with a professional, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to try to look what he's throwing and look what, you know, look what's going on, ask him a few questions and be prepared, you know.
Yes.
That's
well,
that's
they don't know till they go with us, and then we show them what to throw, what they need to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. We taught a lot of people how to fish, Mickey. It's great.
Yeah, I wouldn't change anything. It was a lot of fun. It's a good run, man.
No, me too. It was a good run, Woodrow. It was a good ride, Woodrow. That was good.
It was. Been a hell of a party, Woodrow.
Yeah, no kidding. That was a good
I think year. That's what he said.
Yeah, something like that. But that kind of put it all, you know, when you get old, you kind of sit back and you look at your life, you go, man, I've been through 40 boats. I've been through thousands of people, caught lots of fish, and it was a good ride. I wouldn't change nothing, man.
No.
Golly. Couldn't get a real job anyway.
From you.
No, no.
Only thing that's guaranteed is death and taxes, but they can't take away your memories, man.
I know it, buddy. I know it. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to a really good week next week. I hope to send you something. Well, I just can't seem to get – I've had that one, maybe one or two fish hit that 8-pound mark in the last year or so, but I just know there's something. These guys are catching some really, really big fish, but you got to realize the guys are catching them are hardcore, Mickey. They're not just –
Well, and these
they're not
fish
just going
are
out there
and
catching
far
them.
Between, too. I mean, it's not the old days when, you know, you got one of those every day. I mean, that was common. Mm-hmm. You didn't think
no,
much
that's
of
true,
it.
True.
And
you know, it's so much different now in the wintertime what you and I are doing because these guys are real hardcore to catch them on lures. Now, you go to spring and summer when the croakers, everything come out, and they catch a few bigs. It's still catching a big fish, but it's not the skill level and the hardcore stuff that you have in the winter.
No,
you know, the winter, the guys catch those big fish in the winter. They're putting in the work.
We're putting in the trigger time, man.
That's it, the trigger time. God almighty.
Well... All right, Cliff, speaking of triggers, I got to pull the trigger on this show. It's time to leave.
All right, man.
Hey, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, I highly recommend it. It's fun, man. Give them a number.
All right. Yeah, Mick, and you guys need to come down, too, when you can. I always say that. Every year I say I'm going to go to Blaine's. I never do it, but there's too many birds here this year. But eventually, we got to get together again, buddy.
John sent me some dates, you know, and I've got too many conflicts in those. I'm going to have to work out something else. Those aren't going to pan out for me.
I'll send you another set.
Other obligations.
All right, Mickey. I'm at Erico 361-949-0707. Thanks for having me on,
Cliff.
Mickey.
Hey, have a good Saturday and good weekend, man. It's always
good
talking to you.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
Had fun.
Thank you, sir.
See you, man. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning on Sunday, 4 a.m., bright and early, right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.